Thank you for listening to an audio recording from the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative dedicated to preserving America's history through the timeless practice of oral storytelling. To learn more about the Tell Me a Story program, including how you can add your own story to the collection, visit MidwestGenealogyCenter.org/tellmeastory. On behalf of the Midwest Genealogy Center and Mid-Continent Public Library, we hope you enjoy the following story.
Hello, this is Liz Christensen. I am going to share my Zion story of how I came to live in Missouri. I have written some things down, and I think I'm just going to read it since I'm not being interviewed by anyone. And the date today is March 5th, 2024. My story, though, I've been writing it for over the last year, so things have kind of been added in and stuff, but hopefully it's what you're looking for. So my family, I'm married to Mike Christensen, and we were married in 2007, May 19th, 2007, in Salt Lake City, Utah, in the Salt Lake City Temple. And Mike and I have both been members of the church our whole lives, and both of our families come through the pioneers that crossed the plains in the early church history, and so I've always been familiar with the church. We have four kids. Eli is the oldest, and then there's Blake, and then there's Kinsey and Savannah, two boys and two girls. So a little bit about my family history. I am about half Polynesian and then half European. My dad is of Scottish and English and Welsh descent, generally. And my mom is Samoan, Hawaiian, Irish, and Chinese. There's probably some other ancestry mixed in there, but those are the big general ones that I know about. So in Samoan, that is Afakasi. In Hawaiian, that is Hapa, being mixed of both, just so you guys have some some background knowledge there. And I feel that being a Polynesian is a big reason of how, a big factor, I guess, of how I came to be in Missouri. So I'm going to share this story about my grandpa. His name was Wayne Isaku Selu, and he didn't always go by that. He went by Wayne Isako, too. He has a few different kind of names. He is from Samoa and immigrated here back in the 1940s, I believe. But let me tell you a little bit about being Polynesian. So I love dancing, especially Polynesian dancing. I learned with my siblings and my cousins from my grandma Selu, who is my grandpa's wife, Ellen Mae Kwainuhea Parker Selu. And she taught us to dance ever since we were little, all me and my siblings and my cousins. And I kind of stopped dancing once I became a teenager. You know, I cut my hair and kind of had my own journey to go on. But then we always would still dance at a family reunion or someone's wedding or whenever the occasion called for it. But it wasn't a regular thing we practiced as I got older. So my grandpa, Papa. That's what I grew up calling him, Papa Selu. When I turned 8, and right before I had turned 8, he actually passed away. And, let me just read the story I wrote down. It seems so much easier. Okay, this is back in Salt Lake City in West Valley. That's a suburb of Salt Lake City, Utah, is where I grew up. It says, my Papa Selu had just passed away a few weeks before my baptism. It was a somber time just after Thanksgiving. I mentioned this because, I turned 8 on November 18th, and then he passed away after my birthday, and my baptism was in December. So he was there for my birthday, but not there for my baptism. Anyways, I mention this because while we were at his funeral, in walked an apostle of the Lord, President Thomas S. Monson. Back then, he wasn't the prophet, he was an apostle, but still very impressive. My eyes widened as I saw him walk up to the stand. I had no idea that he knew my grandpa and was greatly impressed by his eagerness to be there at his funeral to remember him. They had known each other for a long time, back when my grandpa first came to America from Samoa. They had kept in touch over the years as my grandpa became bishop of a Samoan ward called Mapusanga Ward in West Valley. We sang "How Great Thou Art" at his funeral, and every time I hear that hymn, it takes me back to that day. Fast forward a few years when I was a teenager, and I remember watching some of General Conference on a Saturday at a friend's house. They didn't go to church and had never watched Conference, but I wanted to for just a minute. As we watched, President Monson came on. He always reminds me of my papa. Anyways, he gave his talk, but as he spoke, he started sharing a story about two Samoan boys that he was asked to check up on. I knew that story from it being shared at family gatherings. I never thought I would hear about it over the pulpit during Conference. I jumped up and was so excited to share what I had heard with my family. That sparked more questions about my papa, and as I asked, I learned his stories of faith. I want to share them because they are part of why I'm in Missouri today. And I was asked to give a talk about him, or about pioneers on Pioneer Day a few years ago, and I had shared this talk about him. It says, my grandpa has always had the gospel in his life. In Samoa, the early missionaries set up schools there to help teach the gospel along with other things like English. In his journal, he wrote about how the Saniatu Mormon School in Western Samoa was where his parents met. When they moved to Mapusanga Mormon School in American Samoa, his parents had strong testimonies and served as ward missionaries for many years there. Here is an excerpt from his journal. I remember when the missionaries talk about America as land of promise and told us to prepare ourselves to come to Zion. And from there on, I always want to come to America. But we don't have any money for our fare on ship. That time was no airport in American Samoa for the airplane, so we just wait for a chance to save some money for the boat fare to Hawaii or to America. However, the days go by, and seem to me we have a long while before we accomplish what we wish for. So even in the 1930s, missionaries were still urging saints to come to Zion. President Nelson testifies of why. God's promise for the gathering of scattered Israel was equally emphatic. Isaiah, for example, foresaw that in the latter days the Lord would send swift messengers to these people who were so scattered and peeled. This promise of the gathering, woven all through the fabric of the scriptures, will be fulfilled just as surely as were the prophecies of the scattering of Israel. I'm here to testify, that's the end of the quote, I'm here to testify that this is true and is coming to pass. This has been made known more to me in the last year, and President and Sister Nelson's youth broadcast cemented it in my mind and heart. So back to my grandpa. So the money to come to America never came, but a chance to board a boat did. So he took it. He stowed away on a boat that he thought was heading to America, but learned quickly that it was heading to Japan instead, right into an active war zone. He turned himself in and had to serve some time in jail back in Samoa. This was going on during World War II, a time when the world was definitely in commotion. And I'd say my grandpa, he's probably about, 18, 17. He's a young, very young. And anyways, so he was released from jail, and another chance soon came after. He was driving a bus full of people when he heard about a boat going to Hawaii. He decided then and there that this was his chance to go to the promised land and left the people on the bus to get on the boat. The police saw the stranded bus and questioned the passengers where their driver was. They must have seen my grandpa go to the boat because the police went searching for him. While searching, they found many other stowaways, but not him. He had met a sailor on board who gave him a uniform to wear to help disguise him, and it worked. As the boat was coming into Hawaii, the sailor advised him to jump overboard and swim to shore to not get caught. But my papa wasn't about to jump into the ocean and get hurt or die. He let himself get caught and was taken to Hawaii's immigration office. But lo and behold, his cousin worked there, which allowed him to stay in Hawaii. He then joined the military, which led to his citizenship eventually. So the spirit was always leading and guiding him in his journey to America. Elder Rasband has said, significant events unfold in the gospel and in the church that further the kingdom of God on earth. They are not by accident, but by God's plan. He who fashioned this world can calm the seas with his word and can steer both Alma and Amulek and Nephi and Laban to be at the right place at precisely the right time. In April conference of 2004, President Monson gave a talk about personal influence and gave an example of this in his life. This is the story from General Conference that I heard. It says, Elder Spencer W. Kimball called on another occasion. Bishop Monson, he said, I have learned that there are two Samoan boys living in a downtown hotel. They're going to get in trouble. Will you make them members of your ward? I found these two boys at midnight sitting on the steps of the hotel playing ukuleles and singing. They became members of our ward. Eventually, each of them married in the temple and served valiantly. Their influence for good was widespread. I knew the story, but only as a family story, and to hear it in General Conference blew my family's minds. Not only was President Kimball and President Monson in the right place for my grandpa, I was in the right place listening to conference to hear it spoken. It stands as a testimony that the Lord is guiding our lives and is so aware of us. Because of President Kimball and President Monson's willingness to serve and follow the Spirit, my grandpa's testimony of the gospel grew more firm. Because of his willingness to follow the Spirit and come to the promised land, my mom and her siblings have been blessed, and those blessings have been passed on to me. So now I have a little story about a car I used to own, a Mini Cooper. So back, we used to live in Fernley, Nevada, me and my husband and my kids. This is about 2014 to 2017 is when we lived there. So when we lived there, I had the opportunity to get a new car. And so Mike gave me the opportunity to pick any car I wanted. It didn't matter what it was. I was just going to pick something that I thought was awesome and see if we could afford it, I guess. And so naturally, it would seem that I would get a van, but I didn't get a van, even though I had all these kids. We had my Grandma Selu's van at the time. She had passed away, and so my family got her van. And my aunt had sold it to me when they were trying to take care of the estate and stuff. So anyways, I told Mike that I wanted to look at Mini Coopers, and we ended up getting one. We just drove there, and it all worked out, and I bought one. It was amazing. I felt like it was a little bit of England with me, and it made me happy. I have a deep love for England and for the British culture, and I believe that it probably comes from my dad's side of the family, but my mom's side too. There's some English side, the Parkers that married, that went to Hawaii and settled on the Big Island. They're from back there and from New England as well. But anyways, Once I had bought the car, I had this overwhelming feeling that if my Papa Selu, hadn't come to America to follow what the prophet had said, I probably wouldn't have had the opportunity to get a car like that. It was a super humbling experience from the Holy Ghost and came out of nowhere. I was reminded of why America is the promised land and how blessed the people are who live here. It was a great spiritual witness that reminds me not to take things for granted. After we moved to St. George, Utah, I could tell that I was pretty possessive of my car and had probably made it an idol. I didn't like the kids to get it dirty or bump into it, and if anything was spilled or damaged, I was pretty not very happy. I'd fly off the hook, and the Spirit helped me recognize that it wasn't a good possession for me to have, even though I liked it so much. I decided to trade it in for a Honda Civic, a little bit bigger car and more reliable car, and I still have that car today. It's in the garage here in Lee Summit, Missouri. So that was a little bit of a testimony, too, of why my family coming and how I'm here in America is such a blessing. So I'll just keep reading. Being mixed race has always been a struggle for me. I felt like I could never fit in. I felt that I wasn't brown enough when we were around Polynesians, and then when we were in other settings, I wasn't white enough and was treated differently. As I have come to study both sides of my heritage, I've come to realize how much I love them both. I can see both sides of some issues that are in our society today, and it makes me more neutral. I find that this helps me to want more unity and to be more accepting of others. So back in 2017, before President Monson had passed away, he had challenged the church to read the Book of Mormon during General Conference. I felt like this was the first time that I really took up a challenge like that from conference and thought, okay, I'm going to follow the prophet. The prophet said, "This morning I speak about the power of the Book of Mormon and the critical need as we have as members of this church to study, ponder, and apply its teaching in our lives. The importance of having a firm and sure testimony of the Book of Mormon cannot be overstated. We live in a time of great trouble and wickedness. What will protect us from the sin and evil so prevalent in the world today? I maintain that a strong testimony of our Savior Jesus Christ and of his gospel will help us through to safety. If you are not reading the Book of Mormon each day, please do so. If you will read it prayerfully and with a sincere desire to know the truth, the Holy Ghost will manifest its truth to you. If it is true, and I solemnly testify that it is, then Joseph Smith was a prophet who saw God the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Because the Book of Mormon is true, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is the Lord's church on the earth, and the holy priesthood of God has been restored for the benefit and blessing of his children. If you do not have a firm testimony of these things, do that which is necessary to obtain one. It is essential for you to have your own testimony in these difficult times, for the testimonies of others will carry you only so far. However, once obtained, a testimony needs to be kept vital and alive through continued obedience to the commandments of God and through daily prayer and scripture study. My dear associates in the work of the Lord, I implore each of us to prayerfully study and ponder the Book of Mormon each day. As we do so, we will be in a position to hear the voice of the Spirit, to resist temptation, to overcome doubt and fear, and to receive heaven's help in our lives. I so testify with all my heart in the name of Jesus Christ, amen." So that was President Monson's challenge. So I read. I didn't finish it, but the Spirit witnessed something to me as I was trying to follow the prophet. I believe it was in Alma chapter 10, verse 3. And it says, "And Amminadi was a descendant of Nephi, who was the son of Lehi, who came out of the land of Jerusalem, who was a descendant of Manasseh, who was the son of Joseph, who was sold into Egypt by the hands of his brethren." So what happened to Alma in chapter 36, verse 18, happened to me, as now my mind caught hold upon this thought of, oh, Lehi is from Manasseh. The thought that he was from Manasseh kept jumping out at me. And I thought, well, I'm from Manasseh too. That's what it says in my patriarchal blessing. Then the Spirit filled my soul, and I knew that it was the same Manasseh, and that Lehi was descended from him too. And then I thought, if me and Lehi are both from Manasseh, does that make us related? And the answer was a resounding yes. And the realization hit me like a bag of bricks. The Book of Mormon is my family history. They are my ancestors, and I'm their posterity. We belong to each other. It was a powerful witness to me, a gift that I didn't know I needed, but held on too tight once it was given. It seems to be common knowledge that many Polynesians are of the tribe of Manasseh. Papa Selu was of Manasseh. Other members of my family are too, but they are also of Ephraim. I have one sister who has both tribes. I believe that comes from being of mixed race and heritage. Ephraim from my dad's European side and Manasseh from my mom's. Knowing about Lehi and Manasseh really helped me with my identity and helped me understand more about who I am and where I come from. Knowing those things are so important these days. So many people have no idea and struggle with their identity in more ways than figuring out what tribe they are from and claiming those birthrights. Anyways, I also wanted to be more diligent in reading the Book of Mormon because of how personal it had become. So then, no, this is just me talking, right? I had this witness, this personal witness that I was the seed, you know. As Nephi is talking and he's talking to his posterity, I'm writing those things down. I had this strong witness that he did it for me, and he could see me. Oh, now this is before I had any idea of coming to Missouri. I knew that, and I thought, well, that's great. You know, that's great. I don't know if I even realized then how important that was of Nephi writing to me, you know. And me being a literal posterity of him and his family. But as we've been reading the Book of Mormon this year in 2024, it's hit me again, and the Spirit has witnessed again to me. And I feel awake. And I feel so grateful for all the prophets of the Book of Mormon and their willingness to be obedient and to write those things down so I could benefit. Now, does that mean you only have to be from Manasseh to be a descendant of Lehi, Father Lehi? No. You can be of Ephraim too, because Ishmael was of Ephraim. And their kids married. And how beautiful is that? But this was the way that the Holy Ghost made it known to me. And now I'm here in Missouri. There's lots of other things in my story. I learned about homeschooling. That was something the Lord asked me to do. Something I had never thought about. And now in hindsight, I understand. I haven't homeschooled for the last 2 years. My kids have been in the public school system. And I've been teaching seminary at home to my ward. About 13 kids come. And I believe my homeschooling was preparing me to teach seminary. I think it helped my kids too and me, but really it was to prepare me how to teach by the Spirit. And I'm so grateful for that. And there's a whole long story of that too. But I guess I'll get to exactly how we came to be in Missouri. I feel like those things are backstories of how what it led me to this point. So before Missouri in Lee's Summit, we live in Lee's Summit. We are part of Independence Stake. We're in Independence 4th Ward right now. And before this, we used to live in Ivins, Utah. That is southern Utah, close to St. George, Utah. And that's where I had been homeschooling my kids. And it's such a beautiful thing. And it was a struggle at first. And I kept trying and needed correction and trying to figure out what I was supposed to be doing. But anyways, maybe I should share this too. Okay, let me put one more story in here. So before we, before I had any inkling about moving to Missouri, before I even, I guess I had Eli maybe, when Mike and I were first married, we lived in Las Vegas. That's where Mike's family is from. And I moved down there from Salt Lake to so he could go to school and stuff. So I'll read this story. It's called The Parable of the Ten Virgins. It says, so back when Mike and I were first married, we lived in Las Vegas. Mike had lived there since fifth grade and basically grew up there. He had some scholarships to UNLV, which is the University of Las Vegas. So we decided to start our married life there instead of Utah. He was working on his bachelor's degree in biology and worked at Converse Consultants with his dad, which is an engineering soil testing company. But he wanted to be a pharmacist. I was working at public radio called KNPR with Mike's aunt Melanie. That's Melanie Cannon, Mike's mom's sister. We decided to have our first baby a few months after being married. Eli was born the next year in July 2008. It was tough having a newborn baby and working. It made me sad to drop him off to the babysitter. She was also a member of the church and was nearby our house, but I wish I could have been home with him more. I hope I can help my kids be with their babies. Anyways, so going to the temple was difficult. When we got married, many people advised us to go to the temple once a month. It seemed reasonable, and we tried to do that. Mike's mom would help watch Eli so we could go. I didn't want it to be an inconvenience, so one Friday night we stayed over and wanted to go to a 6 a.m. session Saturday morning. We set our alarms, but were running late. The temple was only a few minutes away from Don and Peggy's house, but we were running out of time. Mike and I rushed in and changed into our temple clothes and walked into the chapel, but it was empty. We had missed the session, and everyone was already up in the telestial room. I looked at Mike and was frustrated. I wanted the temple workers to take us up, but they calmly motioned for us to sit in the chapel and be patient. The next session would start in 30 minutes or so, which isn't a long time, but I was upset. I didn't want to just sit there doing nothing. Of course, you're not doing nothing, but that's how my mindset was. I wanted to be working. Plus, I didn't want Eli to be a bother to Peggy while we were gone longer than we thought we'd be. I sat there trying to calm down and not let my impatience show. I was thinking about all the little sweet old temple workers, these sweet ladies, and I thought, just take me up the elevator, take me up and squeeze me into the session. But it wasn't happening. Excuse me. And then as I was sitting there, I thought about the parable of the ten virgins, especially the part about the door being shut. I knew the door had been shut today, and there was no way I could get into the marriage feast. I was alarmed by what the Holy Ghost was teaching me, what he was warning me about. I started to cry and was humbled. I looked up the parable in the scriptures in Matthew 25 and read the whole story in detail. I felt ashamed. Ashamed for feeling angry and contentious at the temple workers, and even more so for trying to demand to be taken into the session that I had not prepared for. I knew that this lesson was a warning to me to wake up and prepare myself for the things that are to come, to not become lazy with my discipleship, and to actively prepare for the Savior's return. Over the years, my experience has grown to mean more to me, and every time I hear anything about the 10 virgins, my ears perk up and I try to listen and focus. Years after that temple experience, while we lived in St. George, Utah, I happened to see a picture towards the back of a thrift store that caught my eye. Desert Industries, the DI, is my favorite thrift store because the church owns it. I thought it looked like the 10 virgins, but I wasn't sure when I... And as we neared it, I knew that it was. I knew that it was a reminder for me not to forget my experience, and I didn't know where I'd put it in the house, but I knew that I needed to buy it, and I still have it today up on the fireplace. This last week, we studied about the parable of the 10 virgins in our Come Follow Me lesson. I'm not sure when I wrote this. Last year, sometime we studied it, I guess, in the New Testament. Must have been Matthew. It's not a coincidence that this parable has been with me for all these years, especially now that I live in Jackson County, Missouri, the place where the bridegroom will come and reign from. Since moving here, I have felt that I am a part of preparing the wedding feast for others. I'm helping to plan and set up the events that will take place, and it feels so soon. Part of that as well, which is an interesting thing too, and I don't know if I think I wrote it in the written out version, but I will tell you that since we've moved here, I went to go up to the temple, the Kansas City Temple, to help clean as an assignment for our ward. You know, everyone takes turns going to help clean, and I went and found out that you could serve as a service missionary cleaning the temple, and I felt the Holy Ghost say, yes, Liz, do it, you need to serve, because I always wanted to serve a mission, but when I was younger, the missionary age was 21, they wanted the women, the sisters to be 21 before they went out, and so that didn't work out for me, because I met and married Mike when I was 19, so I was still too young, and anyways, since then, it's changed to where you only have to be 19 for a sister to serve, but I never thought I would serve a mission until I was older with Mike, and I had grandkids, and so I jumped at this opportunity to be a service missionary and knew through other witnesses that it is exactly the mission that Heavenly Father had planned for me, and what I love about it and how it connects to the parable of the 10 virgins is that I clean the bridal room. It is not a room you go in very often, only when you go and get married. It's the only time you really go into the bridal room, or unless you're helping someone else prepare, you know. And somehow that has become my assignment. For the last 2 years, I've cleaned the bridal room. And it is, I don't think that's a coincidence either. So I sit there when I clean and I vacuum and I dust and I sit and ponder on the wedding feast and what that means to me and the bridegroom. And it takes me back to the parable of the 10 virgins, and it's so special. I just love that. Okay, so all these things, right? I guess that's kind of bouncing back and forth of throughout the last few years, but since 2017, since President Nelson became the prophet, like, my life has changed dramatically, where I just felt like I had to leave the old me, old things I used to do, and trying to live a new and higher way, especially by homeschooling that started happening around that time. That's when I let go of my car. We moved down to St. George from Fernley, Nevada, to be closer with family. And at that time, because we were homeschooling, we had that freedom to travel, and we traveled. We have seen all over America. We have even had a chance to go to England. Mike has had the opportunity to go to Africa with Eli and to hike Kilimanjaro, that's in Tanzania. And Mike and I hiked in Scotland. I had to go to Scotland to see my family there. And we hiked Ben Nevis. Mike loves to hike and misses the mountains because there's no mountains here in Missouri right now. And yeah, we just, it has been 7 years of plenty to the max, to the fullest. So blessed. So many amazing things. We sold our two houses in Fernley and in Ivins, Utah, and the Lord blessed us with a lot of money from those houses to put into our house here in Missouri and to pay for things and to build up our food storage and all the things. We've just been so blessed. And it's been amazing. It's incredible. But so how the actual story of us coming to Missouri is pretty incredible too. I call it The Call, is what it's listed in my little paper I wrote. So I'll just read it. We're about 35 minutes in, so it shouldn't take much longer. I'm sorry if I'm long-winded. It's been so hard to even record this, so I'm just trying to do my best with it. But anyways, I'll read it. The Call. So now you have a ton of backstory of how we came to be in Missouri, but now is the actual story of when the Holy Ghost prompted us to move. It was October of 2020, the year of COVID-19, when everyone was getting sick and we couldn't go outside and like the world shut down. So crazy. Our world didn't shut down completely for my family because we homeschooled, and that's pretty, you know, secluded if you want it to be. So we pretty much lived normal lives and did our own thing, except for when we had to do things in outside with people, right? It was different. But it wasn't as hard on our family as it could have been, and I'm sure that is a huge blessing as well. Anyways, homeschooling allowed us to live free from masks or social distancing. We only had to deal with that when we went out to the store or in public places, which wasn't too much because we lived 15 to 20 minutes from the center of town, and being up in the desert gave us lots of space that we loved and encouraged us to be outside more than ever. The Red Rock in Ivins is so beautiful and holds a special place in our hearts. I found a journal entry from that time that I'll share. Says, I love doing family history. I haven't recorded much of my own story, though, on Family Search, and I thought I should start. We just watched General Conference a few weeks ago, and it was great. Mike got time off of work from the pharmacy, and we intentionally cleared our schedules to hear God's word. Every talk was amazing and filled with the Holy Ghost. Elder Bednar's talk was the homeschool talk of the year for me, called We Will Prove Them Herewith. I loved President Irene's talk during the women's session, Sisters in Zion. I sobbed through the whole talk. I've been wanting to learn more about the city of Enoch and the things they did to become so righteous and a Zion people. I was looking for revelation on this topic in the April conference, but it didn't seem to come, and I was disappointed. I now understand that the April conference focused so much on the restoration of the gospel and Joseph Smith because there are more viewers than ever watching at home because of the COVID-19 pandemic. It was the best time to celebrate the first vision and to explain how the Book of Mormon came to be. It was a great missionary/investigator tool. I can see that now. So I tried not to overthink this fall conference, and my cup was filled and overflowing. I am working on our food storage now. Feeding the family is a difficult thing for me. I can tell that Heavenly Father is helping me with recipes and eating what we have in the pantry. I've cut down on trips to the store and I'm filling the holes in recipes we eat. There are some food shortages around town. Many others are also stocking up on food storage as per the Prophet's counsel. I'm also being more intentional and deliberate with what we buy to eat and how much we spend. I can feel the Holy Ghost guiding me in my efforts, and I'm grateful, and we aren't starving. Every Wednesday I've been trying to study an attribute of Christ. Last week was obedience, and today is diligence. Some of my thoughts were, success isn't a prerequisite for blessings. We need the Lord walking with us. Ask Heavenly Father what you can do today to become better than yesterday. Don't quit, don't give up, and don't throw in the towel. Don't give up on the Savior. He is the living water. Side note, real quick. Some friends of mine have been thinking about leaving the church. And I asked them if they were willing to throw in the towel after all the things they have gone through. And they said, yeah, that they were willing to. And I believe that they can't remember their testimonies or the things the Holy Ghost has taught them because they have started to harden their hearts. But I told them that I couldn't throw the towel in because all these things have happened. I can't make it up. It's true. Everything is true. Anyways, that little phrase in there reminded me of that. So back to the living water. Living water has been coming up a lot in my studies this last week. I need to study that phrase more and know there's a lot to be learned from the story of Jesus and the woman at the well. On Thursday since conference, I follow a study group on Instagram called Inklings. We study a conference talk each week. Tomorrow's is Peace Be Still by M. Lisa L. Harkness. Every day I'm trying to work on a daily study about the Savior from the topical guide in the scriptures. The prophet asked us to do this a few years ago, but I never did, so here I am working on it. It's really helping me see how the Savior is in my life every day. I keep a special journal for it. Go and find it. I'm so excited for the Savior to come back to earth. Over the last 7 years, the Lord has been preparing me spiritually for this time. As I look back and reflect, I can see His hand and how it's led me to where I am. I homeschool the kids and love it. I teach by the Spirit. I know it's Heavenly Father's will and how He wants us to learn to use our agency. The new Children and Youth Program is Heaven's educational plan. Come Follow Me is our priority every morning with our family. It's been a long road to opening my mind to these concepts of letting go of what the world teaches us, but I'm so grateful to be awake and to see things through Heaven's eyes. I still fall short, but I want to try every day to be better and to choose the Savior every time. So the journal entry referenced President Irons' talk, Sisters in Zion. I was filled with the Spirit. After the conference, though, I didn't really read the talk again until it came up in that Inkling study I referenced. That was about Christmas time, so a few months after a conference. When I saw it as the talk to study, I remembered that this talk was important to me, and as soon as I listened to it again, I was overcome by the Spirit again, and just crying about this, and just crying. But this time, I wanted to know more. Why was I feeling this way? So I went into the footnotes for that deeper learning and understanding, and as I studied, the Holy Ghost made it known that we needed to go to Missouri. I remember thinking, what? Why would we go to Missouri? We have no family there, and it's so far away. The only reason to go to Missouri would be because that's where Jesus will come. As I wrapped my mind around the whole thing, I prayed to Heavenly Father and talked with Him, trying to understand if what I felt really was what He meant. The answer was yes. I need your family in Missouri, and you need to tell Mike about it. I can't remember all the details, and someday I'll go through my journal entries to understand more, but I do know that I was studying more about the millennium and the second coming, especially because COVID gave us the time to do so. Anyway, so I told Mike what I had felt and learned from the Holy Ghost. He has always been so patient with me through all the promptings I've told him about, especially about homeschooling our kids. I was worried about telling him about this, though. This one was just a little bit more extreme in the way that it required faith and action on his part, too. Here is what Mike remembers. I remember thinking, what? What, that is Kansas City, where the Chiefs play, and we hate the Chiefs because they are the Raiders' division rival. We researched Kansas City online and found out it was one of the worst cities in the U.S. as far as crime goes, and has miserable weather, and basically there was no good reason to move there, except for that the Holy Ghost told Liz. He's so funny, huh? Anyways, so that outweighs everything else. I needed to find out for myself, so I fasted and prayed for a while, and after a couple weeks, I had a dream about a football game where the Chiefs were playing. I woke up, still in the middle of the night, thinking that was a weird dream. Then I thought, was that dream the answer I'd been praying for? I prayed right then and asked if the dream about Kansas City meant we were really supposed to move there, and I got an overwhelming, undeniable feeling that, yes, we were supposed to go there. Oh man, I thought, here we go. During the time Mike was praying and fasting, I remember going to church and sitting on the back pew waiting for sacrament meeting to start. I kept going over all the things in my mind as I stared at the pulpit and organ. I kept thinking, no one will believe me that it's time to go back to Missouri for the New Jerusalem. And then I heard it. His voice. It was as if he was sitting in the row behind me and had leaned forward and whispered in my right ear. They didn't believe me either. My eyes got wide as I recognized whose voice it was. Joseph Smith, Jr., the prophet. Somehow he knew that our family was going through what our family was going through and my thoughts at that exact moment. And somehow he spoke to me through the veil. I started crying and all doubt and fear had left me. It was the first time I'd ever felt his spirit and heard his voice outside of reading his words in church books. It confirmed that he helped restore the Savior's gospel to the earth and that the Book of Mormon is true. I knew even more that we had to go, and the urgency became stronger than ever. We did all this research. I'm going to paraphrase now since this is going long. But we did all this research, and it seemed to slow down, though, all those promptings from the Holy Ghost. And I was getting frustrated. Mike, you know, because he's a pharmacist, he had to get relicensed in Missouri, and so he had to go take the test to pass the law test, you know, because the laws are different, and I didn't give him much time to study. There was a test, like, the next week, and he took it, and he passed, and I knew that was another witness from Heavenly Father that we were supposed to go, but then there was no job openings, you know, not for what Mike wanted, and so it seemed to slow down, and it became a big struggle and a trial of faith of when we would go. And I felt really hurt by Mike during that time. He had left to go hiking, and I felt like he wasn't taking it seriously. And I started thinking that I was crazy. Anyways, I had a homeschool retreat I was going to with a bunch of other moms, and I didn't know if I would go because I thought maybe we'd be moving, but we hadn't moved yet. I hadn't got the job yet, so I thought, I'm like, well, I guess I have to go. And so I packed up my stuff, and as I was getting ready to go, Mike got a phone call about a job offer in Missouri, and it seemed to be a good one. Funny how that is. Anyways, I was like, hey, Mike, I gotta go. I'm gonna go and go to my retreat, and I'll talk to you about it once I get home, just for the weekend, you know. And so I went, and it was amazing. My retreat was up in Pine Valley, that's north of Ivins, up in the mountains there. And at that time, it was still during, like, lockdown, you could say, with COVID-19. That would be the spring of 2021, so it's been about a year, I guess, since COVID had started, and things were still pretty wild, you know. But I guess all these homeschool moms felt like it was okay to get together if people wanted to get together. And so I went, and it was amazing because of the temple. When COVID had hit, the temple closed down, and we were unable to go to the temple for a year, which was really hard and difficult. I can't even imagine that now. And I felt like I had a temple experience at this women's retreat, and I had gone up to the mountain. I had to go to a holy place. That's why we were delayed. And knowing what to do, and with Mike's job, because I needed to go up this mountain. I needed to go up this mountain so Heavenly Father could tell me the sacred stuff he needed to tell me, because I had to be in a certain place, you know, and I couldn't go to the temple. And that was the next best thing, I guess. Oh, it was too much. I had to ascend, I had to go up, you know, Nephi had to go to a mountain, all the things. Anyways, I had this amazing time at the conference, and I was telling my friends, you know, yeah, I feel like we're moving to Missouri, but I don't know when. And some of them thought I was crazy. I really felt persecuted from some people, that I would be destroyed if I went now. That was painful. But I knew what I knew, and I knew that God knew it too, just like Joseph Smith. And I knew he knew it too, because he talked to me. And I drove down the mountain going home, and I felt the Holy Ghost say that my family would be involved in the second coming, and especially involved in the 144,000 of helping to gather people. And it was really powerful witness to me. And I thought, whoa, okay, we better get there then. And so that has fueled everything. And and I don't share that with many people, but I felt impressed that I need to include it here. Especially, this is a record going on, a witness, my own testimony to add to all the others of our Savior's return. And I know people are going to want to know what it was like beforehand. I think I want to know what the wise men went through when they saw us the Savior as a baby or as a kid, you know. Anyways, yeah, and we're doing a great work here now that we live here. I didn't know where to buy a house because I wasn't coming here on my own will. Like, I'm coming because the Lord brought me here, and I thought, oh, I have to buy a house to give it back to the church. That's what it says in Doctrine and Covenants. And just walking around kind of touching buildings and stuff, not knowing where to go. And then we finally found a house that was good, and there's no doubt about it, where we live now is the perfect place for our ward to gather for seminary. And I was called to be the seminary teacher, and I have always felt that my mission on earth has been to help gather the youth, whether in primary or older youth, you know. That is something that I find that I am with them a lot, and I enjoy it, and I love them so much. And it's my prayer that I can prepare them for the things that are ahead. I have all these witnesses that I cannot deny, and I know it's true. The Savior lives, and the Book of Mormon is true, and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints is God's kingdom on earth. God's church on earth. Great things are ahead, and I know that I am not here by accident. And sometimes I have struggles. There definitely is a refining fire that's here that has tried to get me to be better, but also the adversary has tried to get me to leave and to go back home, because we do miss the mountains and we do miss our family. But, you know, our ward family has been amazing for us and our stake. And we are so excited. We are so excited for the Savior to come. And I don't know if there's anything else I can add. It's almost at hours, which is pretty good. I think I really, there's a lot more I could share always, but that's about the gist of it. And now we just actively wait and be patient, you know, and we become stronger in those refining fires and becoming more sanctified to be able to withstand the 7 years of tribulation that are about to come. But yeah, things are good, and we know that the Savior wins in the end. That's what the scriptures say. So we just have to have faith and be patient. That's my prayer, to be part of the five wise of the 10 virgins and to bring others there too. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.